Kia ora koutou and welcome to South Pacific Muscle. Might have noticed a little bit of a pause there with Mike sort of taking over the show. I kind of expected him to do the introduction, so I had a bit of a moment there. But it's nice to be back. It feels very, very foreign being here. I kind of even look foreign being here, you know. It's almost one continuous day at the beach after another. Lovely and sunny, and I'm feeling very, very summery and very laid back. Still working, but working from home, so as work comes in, just do it. But other than that, it's kind of nice, man. I'm feeling very, very, very summery, and looking forward to having a real cool holiday. So, how's it down in the deep? Is it sunny south at the moment, or?
Oh, we've had a bit of sun. We had some rain today. Yeah, it's pretty changeable down here. We have had some good weather. We've been to the beach a couple of times.
Nice.
You take a hoodie with you just in case when you go to the beach down here. But that's the pod that we did without you was pretty low standard. Looking back at it, all the boys were a couple of days out from the show, and we hadn't really prepared well enough. We didn't have enough. I mean, my audio visuals were pretty rubbish. We didn't have the range of competitors we should have to shout out. It was just the homework we hadn't done. So sorry, bro.
Well, after we finished running our show down, it was really cool. It was really good that you guys
apologizing for the drop in quality.
You know, us, man, we never apologize for things like that, because otherwise we'd have to hold ourselves to a very, very low standard. Yeah, it's been nice having a break, coming out of, you know, obviously off comp season. Food, I haven't been too bad, been kind of sticking to my diet, and getting a little bit of crap in there as well. And
The scales.
So, you know, it's been nice. It's taken a bit to get used to. I've gone through that stage of, now I'm starting to smooth out. I look like a bag of shit. And the whole kind of psyche around that, which absolutely fascinates me. Like going through it's really cool, because you kind of sit back and observe and think, man, I'm feeling kind of, you know, pretty poor about my body image, and I want to cover up. And you're kind of thinking, you know, what's going on in my head here? You know I still look reasonably good. And you get in the gym and have a good workout, and obviously, you know, with all that food and extra carbohydrate, man, some insane pumps and some starting to show some really cool signs in terms of strength and things. But you sort of look up halfway through the workout and look in the mirror and think, fuck, you know, I'm looking massive. I'm looking full, and it's a really nice kind of feeling. And so those two contrasting feelings that kind of go on as you start coming out of prep for me. And but I think I'm on top of it. I've sort of, you know, buttoned down a bit, still letting myself have a bit of freedom. But you know, my body weight's sort of stabilizing out around 100 clicks. So
having been through it a few times before, you know that it's coming, right? Yeah. You know that you kind of look in the mirror and go, oh, my God, I'm fat. I look disgusting. Oh, you can only see the top two of my abs. Hang on, reality check. Most people, you know, for most people, we're still in pretty good shape. And, I mean, obviously, you're 5 weeks ahead of me in that regard too.
Yeah.
So.
But, yeah, it's just a real low-key approach, man. I go and I train. No real hype around it. But then once I'm into training, my head seems to get into it pretty quickly. And I think it's that enthusiasm, you know, that I didn't have so much towards the end of prep, when you were just doing it because you had to do it. And, you know, started pushing some good numbers and feeling pretty fucking good in those workouts, you know. And I'm like, that's what off season's supposed to be. Because it's been so long, man. It's been like, 17 months since I was eating normally, and I wasn't really training. So probably a good 2 years since I've had a solid off season. Mm. So looking forward to it. So how are you finding that early stage of coming off?
Yeah, I've the food things is tough, eh? It's because you're going, there's no reason not to eat it. And I've like described it as eating it like the food's going to escape. Like it's going to, don't eat it now, it's going to be gone. So, you know, like I've made a lot of my own, of my prep meals, you know, with, you know, slightly higher carbohydrates. But then I'll finish my, you know, chicken and rice, and then have a couple of pieces of peanut butter on toast, or, you know, like just grab a biscuit from the, you know, whatever. So my weight's kind of, you know, is coming up. It got real nuts there at Christmas because there was just so much food and so much that wasn't progressing through my digestive system real, because Christmas Day was like 7 days after comp.
Yeah.
So I, like on Christmas Day, I got on the scales, I was 108.5. And I, at the bottom of my carb deplete, I was 98.2 or something. So that's 10 kilos in, in, you know, sort of 10 or 15 days. But I've stabilized out around sort of 103, 104. As you say, smoothed out. It was funny because when all that food was in my digestive, I had this like turtle belly, you know, like see the abs over the top of it. But it was just right out there. So that's sort of getting itself sorted. And
One thing I was going to ask you, have you found that coming back into normal food and eating again, and perhaps that little bit of overeating that happens at the start, have you found that it's kind of thrown your digestive tract at all? Because, like, I kind of, like, I don't, I'm not bloated or I'm not, you know, with cramps or anything like that, but it definitely feels like transit times are slow, absorption doesn't seem to be that good, and you kind of sit around feeling a little bit full all the time.
Yeah, there is quite a bit of that. You know, like I'll eat two or three clean meals in a row and it kind of sorts itself out a little bit. The Christmas was bad though, because there was a lot of shit over, you know, like the whole day. And sort of
we can't just breeze over Christmas. Let's talk about Christmas and what was, oh look, no one's really interested in the wider aspect of Christmas. We want to know what was on the table, what food there was, and how much of it you had.
Because we had we hadn't caught up with people for so long, and my wife's pretty social, we decided to have a few people over on Christmas Eve.
Yep.
So from about midday onwards, we just invited all the neighbours over and anybody wanted to come. So at the most, there was probably, you know, sort of 15 people here.
Yep.
Like, but people drifted in and drifted out. So I was having a beer by sort of midday. I held up pretty well. I probably only had, you know, maybe 8 or 10 beers over the whole evening. Didn't go to spirits, which was good. But there was there was chips, and there was you know, different cheeses, and there was salami, and there was, you know, dips, and then, you know, and then sweet your brownie, and then so it was just grazing. I just didn't stop. I just was continuously putting something in my mouth.
There was no like meal. It just went from midday to kind of midnight. Just
Pretty much. I mean, we wrapped up. I had a wee nap on the couch about 8 o'clock. Everybody's in to go home, but we wanted to finish it up about sort of 7 or 8 o'clock or something, because we got Christmas Eve stuff to do. You know, let the kids open a present the night before and start prep. Well, Delane mainly preps everything for Christmas, but
you subcontract that out, bro.
Start early and finish early.
You subcontract all the organisation out, do you?
Well, it's like playing chicken, you know. I've lost a few games of chicken in our relationship, but she lost that one, so you get all that sorted. But it was weird, you know, because there's no reason not to. You're sitting there, I was just continuously putting something in my mouth all the time, and I was like, I was watching myself do it, going, I don't need this, I don't want it.
Oh, bro, all I can picture when you describe that. It's one of those Wagyu cattle that they kind of jam in the feed pen and just keep force feeding it, and watching it getting bigger and fatter.
Jamming it by its feet and force feeding it.
Yeah. Oh, that's epic.
That was Christmas Eve. So Christmas Day was
straight. Wasn't Christmas Day? Yeah, gotcha.
So then Christmas Day was we had just Elaine's parents over, and we did roast lamb. They brought a ham over. Yeah. We did a cold roast chicken. I did heaps of roast vegetables, and Delaney had done some desserts. She did pavlova and a tiramisu, and she made it. I love cheesecake.
Hey, what's your favorite Christmas dessert? You know, it doesn't have to be strictly Christmas, but on Christmas, the kind of desserts you have. What's your number one?
Well, pavlova says Christmas, eh? I mean, it's not necessarily my favourite dessert.
No, let's go favourite. Let's go favourite at this time of year.
I mean, any time of year, it's cheesecake for me, eh? I love a cheesecake.
Favourite flavour?
Raspberry white chocolate.
Ooh, I'm more of a, like a Kahlua cheesecake or a coffee one, maybe.
Delaine made one for me with that caramel chocolate that you can get at the moment. We didn't even cut it up. Yeah. I mean, she's working up north, doing a COVID kind of you know, something or other, secondment with the police.
Yep.
And it was left in the fridge. And I thought, If I cut that, then I have to finish it before I go to Auckland. I'm going to Auckland tomorrow morning, so I put it in the freezer instead. So I did the right thing, put it in the freezer rather than sort of cutting into it, because I would have had to finish it.
By the time you get off this podcast and we've talked about this stuff, you're going to be microwaving that shit and eating it.
How about you, man? What were you eating?
Yes. At that time of year, I think I'd have to go with cheesecake. I had one this year that was it was kind of white, but it was a chocolatey flavoured one with a bit of chocolate over top. But the bottom, which really topped it off, was gluten-free ginger nuts.
Okay.
So I honestly ate half a fucking cheesecake on Christmas Day. And they had those little, what are those little puffy-looking things? The white meringues. Had some of those, and I'm not a big fan. You know, they're kind of crunchy and feels like eating chalk and shit. And so had one of those and went, ah, no, I'm not really into that.
Back to the cheesecake.
And, yeah, but there was a third. We had a third dessert there as well. And so I kind of got into a bit of that and kind of went back and forward, almost doing the sweet savoury game, you know, going back, going forward. And but, you know, that cheesecake topped it for me, man. I've always been a Pavlova man too. And I like a trifle. I like a good trifle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man.
And a trifle too.
The old Nana used to make one with sherry in there. And honestly, man, you'd have a piece and then you'd sit around talking. Fuck, I'm trolling and I haven't had anything to drink. And it was this trifle was so full of sherry. It was unreal. Yeah. Good times. Good times, Nana.
The cheesecake, how did that sit in your stomach? Because I've had too much cheesecake. Delaney made me a raspberry white chocolate. I ate probably half of it, and it just like it did not go well in my digestive system. Like all that cream cheese.
Yeah, man. I think it's all the lactose, eh? Because you have, you know, when you're dieting, you know, although people think, oh, you have a lot of shakes, you must have a lot of lactose and calcium. You know, when you're having isolate shakes and that, there's not a lot in it. You know, there's protein, but you know, it's not to the same amount. So you go throwing like some double chocolate cheesecake and throwing half a you know cheesecake in, man, that's like lactose overload.
Yeah
man, that could go real bad real fast. Right, so what to, I guess, for the new year, plans, retraining, have you got a game plan or you just...
Well, I because it's so recent that I finished competing and I still haven't got my stage photos through to take a look. There was a couple up on the NZLFBB Facebook, which were quite good, but I'm waiting on my stage photos to come through. I'd set myself mid-January to kind of think about what for 2022. I'm meeting up with Kurt when I go up to Auckland tomorrow. I'm going to meet him on the 3rd, so which is really good. He's going to meet me for coffee, and we're just going to. I said to him, I'm a bit anal about these things and kind of organized. Well, I mean, he says he likes it, but actually, I don't know. We're about to,
I said, look, let's do a pain in the ass.
Let's do a bit of a SWOT analysis, you know, strengths and weaknesses of 2021 and sort of opportunities, threats of 2022. I didn't want to set any goals. I mean, like I like to keep progressing.
Mm.
As much, look, man, I achieved. I'm stoked. I couldn't have hoped for any more this year. To get two class wins, it was just unreal. So to churn out, you know, to go back and try and get two class wins again next year or one, or I mean, it seems like repeating the same. But I need to have a chat to Kurt and have a wee think about, you know, what's the next level. And as you said, isn't it having a crack at the overall for Classic? Now, stand up on stage with those guys, I was taking the piss in the overall because there was no way I was in the frame with those guys. So, you know, potentially if I could look
at... Yeah, hey, I've got to stop you on that one, man, because, like, even at the Olympia level, and I know we're talking about, you know, athletes that are, you know, far superior to the vast majority of us, although one of our athletes is going to be up there in the Classic this year, which is really freaking cool. So big shout out Jonathan Seale getting his pro card in Classic. And obviously, and Matteo winning the overall men's pro show with Jonathan, his training partner, coming second. So we'll get to see Matteo up there. And likewise, Jonathan will probably hit the pro circuit this year. So it's going to be cool seeing two New Zealand athletes. So, but I was going to say, with the even with the Olympia stage, standard athletes obviously a lot higher, but you still saw a big difference between probably the top three and then the tail end of the field. It was like, probably not on the same stage, but that's part of the process, I think, of going forward. So, you know, although you see yourself kind of like you're taking the piss, you just weren't quite at the level that those guys are at, and it's a question of how long is that going to take to get there before you can, you know,
that's what I was going to say. I was probably, I think, weighing 101 or so. Now, I thought my weight limit was 109, but apparently it's the pro weight limit for my height. Apparently, amateur weight limit's 104. So potentially I could cap out my weight limit in 2 years' time, and then if we're all at the weight cap, then it's just whose structure's better, who's whatever. Now, you know, at my age and my sort of injuries and all that sort of thing, that's what I have a chat to Kurt about. But I thought mid-January was when I'd start sort of setting some goals. And it might not be bodybuilding. It might be, well, I'm not going to compete this year. I'm actually going to go do something else. At this stage, I can't imagine what else I'd want to do. There's nothing that really replaces the buzz of bodybuilding.
Well, I was speaking to this other athlete, and she reckons that marathons are a great fucking thing to do.
Well, funny you should say that, because, you know, the first morning back, off she goes for a run. But then a couple of days later, she goes, if we compete next year, we'll definitely do Tournament of Champions and probably just the Nationals. And I said, okay, first of all, you've got to qualify for the Nationals, and Tournament of Champions is normally after the Nationals. So if the time frame works...
She's already qualified.
No, not this year, because Tournament of Champions was before Nationals, so we, I guess, used our qualification, I suppose, so therefore we'd have to re-qualify for Nationals. So it might mean doing, you know, Christchurch again or something like that. But already in there, he was, oh, if we do compete next year, that is
that's a pretty positive shift there, Mike, I must say.
When she says, I'm thinking about this, what she means is, I've thought about this and how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen. And, like, you know, she's a planner, eh? So, you know, she isn't just, it's not just a passing thought for her. But
that's total contrast to the way I do it. I'm like, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Let's just keep doing what I need to do in the meantime. And somewhere along the line, I'm going to work out whether I'm going to compete or not. It's not going to change anything I do in the interim, you know, and we'll just see, you know. But I kind of liked just hopping into that Tournament of Champions when I kind of wasn't ready. I kind of wasn't planning on prepping for it and that. And it would be nice to kind of bounce for a couple of shows if I if I compete next year, just do a couple of shows on the hop and then not worry about Nationals or anything like that, unless it lines up as, you know, three shows in a row. Because I kind of like the idea of how the 90s guys used to do the, you know, like the Grand Prix in Europe and all that, and they'd have like 6 weeks of competitions in a row.
Well, the 2 weeks apart was pretty good for South Islands and Tournament of Champions. Mm-hmm. I could certainly make a change to what I was doing there. It gave my body enough time to kind of, you know, sort itself out from Christchurch, you know, water and carbs and things, and then I could sort of have a decent carb load again. But really, that 6 weeks between that and Nationals was gold, you know, because my calories were 700 calories a day higher through that period. So training was good, work was good, mental space was good. And you know, shout out again to Sean, who pushed me through some good workouts in there, which like made a difference to my arms, hamstrings, that sort of thing. But then 4 weeks into that, it's like, well, let's have a crack at a practice carb load because I'm lean. Mm-hmm. And that's what we ended up going with for Nationals, an early carb load. I carb loaded 3 days. On the practice, I did two heavy days.
Yep.
But then my digestive, I just ate the normal food I ate instead of trying to change my foods around. But it was all sitting in my digestive system. Like, it was all lower digestive. Yeah, it wasn't my stomach. It was further down. And I couldn't sort of get my abs right. So 2 days later, I still had the fullness, but it had moved through my digestive system and I was tight again. So that's the template we use for Nationals. Yeah. And I carb loaded 3 days for Nationals. I did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then cut back Thursday, Friday, and just went into the show Saturday, and everything was sort of relatively tight again.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Different approach to what most people take, but obviously, you know, like when I look at the Christchurch show, we definitely had problems with you know, with a bit of bloating and, or something like
that? That was laziness. That was lack of preparation. And I feel pretty embarrassed about that because, you know, normally I prepare pretty well.
Yeah,
but you've
improved on it and noticeably so. So, yeah, you know, take it as a learning experience. It is what it is.
I think that was more the train. I spent a lot of time working my abs, holding my abs, doing everything through my posing so I kept my posture and my abs right through that rather than necessarily fixing bloating issues, because it wasn't the bloating that was letting my stomach hang out, it was laziness, it was lack of preparation, and that's pretty poor. So address that, and it was so it was much better at tournament.
That was good, man. It was really good, because I remember talking to you about it and you'd already analyzed it yourself, but we both said the same thing, and one of the boys up here said the same thing, and you took it on board and definitely nailed it next time around. So that's a good little improvement from a performance perspective.
But then, you know, why did it take some other people to tell me and me to see myself on stage like that to do that, you know? So
that is what it is, man. It is what it is. Some of us are just slower learners than others. me more so than anyone, I think. Hey, look, on that note, guys, my attention span is just not here tonight. But we did want to keep it short, sharp, and sweet. And
I've got a couple of things to say before you cut off, because it looks like you're winding up.
No, I will, but you jump right through. A
couple of things. One is I'm going to Auckland tomorrow. I'm up there till the 8th. Anybody keen for a workout? And it sort of marries up with what I'm going to say next is, Gary at the Olympic has been really fortunate. He's got insurances paying out over $1 million to replace all his kit. And so he's basically got a credit with Life Fitness. Now, they do Cybex and Hammer Strength. So he's pretty much going, oh, what should we get? So we're kind of like, I'm like a kid in a candy shop with the equipment that I can ask him to order. So anybody out there, like if you want to chuck in the YouTube comments, your favorite piece of Cybex gear, your favorite piece of Hammer Strength gear, I'm going to go visit a couple of gyms and
get into functional fitness would be a good one. They've got some really good.
I don't
want
to throw him under the bus, but I messaged Tommy Shaw and he said, "Oh yeah, I'll make a list. I'll get it back to you." And he hasn't, but I'll just pop over there for a workout, take a few photos. But
if you want, Mike, if you want, I'm going to be in the AK at the same time, so you and I could go for a train at functional fitness.
Yeah, we do.
That'd be fun.
We do calves.
Or abs, we'll do abs.
Let's not do anything too strenuous.
No, but I'll be up there, so
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Go for a train.
Anyone else up there who wants to catch up for coffee or you know, go for a train? I train like a pussy, especially with my aches and pains, but you know, keen to catch up.
I make lots of noise and pretend I train really hard, but actually,
another thing I decide on the next podcast, you know how I kind of have my head up my own ass a little bit at competitions? There was a couple of really nice, there was a bikini girl that said, "Hey, it's really nice to see you, not behind a screen." And I was kind of like and I'm like, afterwards, I went, "Oh, fuck, what a prick. You should have kind of made a fuss, said hello." So can't remember who it was, but look, I'm really sorry if I appeared aloof. And after the show, when I was watching the classic pro show, I'd gone and got myself some peanuts. And I was eating this bag of peanuts, and this girl who's trained by Kurt come past and goes, "Oh, hey, look, you look really good up there." And I'm trained by Kurt as well. And I'm calling, and I'm watching the class. And I was talking to her, but like she goes, "Oh, I'll leave you to your stats then." So I was obviously being a little bit rude. So what I throw out the apology for my rudeness at Nationals.
Oh, that's gold. That's gold. So I do want to wrap, but before I wrap, I just wanted to. So a special shout out to all those people that promoted shows this year, you know, IFBB, Mo, Shane Hunter, etc., all the NZ IFBB officials, NABBA, Jim and Marion doing a fantastic job getting the athletes on stage this year. Really appreciate it from a personal perspective, but also from the athletes. And ICN, Brenda Mack, huge first year for them, so it's been really exciting. And to the other organisations and those that couldn't hold shows, hopefully we see you back 2022. But thank you very much for all your input over the year. That's made the season such a cool season for us, despite some pretty trying conditions. So on that note, thank you. And to everyone else, have a very, very happy and safe New Year's. I want to see you all back on the other side. And get in those gyms, smash some weights, and shout out if you're around. From us, it's out.